You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good game?
Rolling on here, it is the Mike Salk Show on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com as well, 710 Sports app, podcasts. I know, we're trying to get on Apple Podcasts. I don't know what their problem is. They're delayed. We're trying. We're getting there, I promise. Apple Podcasts as well. We're going to talk to Macklemore here in a couple of minutes. He's obsessed with golf, which I can relate to. He watches it. He plays it. I think he's better at it than me. I've seen him on TV and like some of the pro-ams. He may have a little extra time that I don't have to go out there and make sure that he's playing and some extra bankroll to be able to play at some nice courses. But he's obsessed with it. And he's got this golf company now making clothing, the Bogey Boys, and they're opening a new store here in Capitol Hill, their first brick and mortar. So we're going to talk to him in just a couple of minutes. I'm kind of excited about that.
I'm wearing my Bogey Boys shirt. Did you see this?
I do see that. Yeah. Now, their T-shirts, I think I could pull off. I was looking at the site. I don't know how many of the golf polos I could pull off. They're pretty loud.
They look like really rad bowling shirts. But they're golf, I know. But the prints are like the types of guys you see who just make statement pieces with their wardrobes. And Maura made a really good point, right? Maura, what were you saying about people that would wear this? Where do you see it?
Oh, well, you know how the Seahawks kind of have a fashion cam before their show?
Yes.
And guys like DK, he could totally pull this off.
DK, he'd look great.
I mean, I think, a lot of people can. You just have to be confident. I really like them. They're very stylish.
I love them. They're great. I'm not wearing them, though. The T-shirts I'm all in on, so I'm excited about the store. I feel like I saw one that was just green. There was one green polo. I was like, oh, maybe I could maybe pull that one off.
You're saying your personality is not the loud Bogey Boys prince?
I don't know whether I'm, I'm not generally. It just doesn't look good on me, but on other people who wear it with a little, when you're short and squat, I don't know whether loud is the thing that you need. If that makes
sense. To get you for Christmas. I love Macklemore. He's been involved in some of the biggest Seattle sports moments, too.
Well, he's a legitimate sports fan and a legitimate golf guy. I mean, like, there's some real cool stuff about him. So he's going to be joining us here in just a moment. I like this text from the 614. Brock Huard getting song lyrics almost correct since 2014. Yes, Brock did once say the boys are back again for the Thin Lizzy song, The Boys Are Back in Town. So, yeah, there have been a lot of those over the years, and I think we may. I don't know whether he got the one right or wrong from the country.
We could make a game out of it.
Oh, we have.
Finish the lyric.
We have made games like that.
Okay, good.
We once played Is It Kiss or Not? And we played like two different bands, and Brock had to figure out which one was Kiss. And he once mistook Barry Manilow.
He's
for
that
Kiss.
Bad?
Yeah, he was that bad.
Oh,
yeah, it was definitely that bad. So
another Macklemore note: I went and played the Green Lake Pitch and Putt.
Yes.
Walked in, got my clubs, got the ball, and he's like, "Oh, you just missed Ben," and I was like, "Who's like what?" He's like, "You just missed him." I was like, "Ben." He's like, "Macklemore. Macklemore's just here. You just missed him."
Because that's his real name is Ben Haggerty, right?
Yep.
And so he's out there playing Green Lake Pitch and Putt.
He was like, I guess they're doing a photo shoot for the Bogey Boys.
Awesome. That's where I take Avery right now. I take Avery to every couple weeks. We go over to Green Lake Pitch and Putt, and that's our spot. It's been great. So, all right, we're waiting on Macklemore. Do we know if we have him yet, or are they letting us know? Where are we? Where are we?
We're expecting him momentarily.
Momentarily. All right. Should I pull this phone line up, or where should I leave it? What should I do? Should I press this? I don't know. It won't work. I can't get him on.
I have his people on hold, and they're going to let me know when we have
it. I see. All right. So I should just keep filling and kind of...
Another point. I've interviewed Macklemore a few times because I've come from music radio. I've talked to him several times.
Yes.
He is also, his Downtown song, music video, where it's all about scooters and riding scooters, which is clearly 90% of my life. The last two times I talked to him, I was like, someday you and I are going to ride scooters together, right? And he's like... Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay.
And that's been like 3 years.
But you keep saying it, and he keeps saying, one day.
Of course, yeah.
Wait, what's he going to say? I'm never going to ride a scooter with you?
I ask on the air every time, so of course.
And he's always just like, yeah, no, I'm out. what's he going to say? No? Come on, he's a celebrity. He can't do something like that. I'll also remind you that Jerry DePoto will join us at 8:30 this morning. We kind of figure out some of this Kelnick stuff with him. I want to talk Julio Rodriguez, with him also, because the numbers on Julio since coming up to Double A are just straight up ridiculous in everything that he's done so far this year. So
I saw a tweet about Julio and how his swing and his swag looks. It reminds people of Nelson Cruz.
Oh, that's interesting. He's so tall and thin. I mean, maybe a younger Nelly. I don't remember him ever being quite so thin.
He's going to fill out. He's 20.
He will, but I don't know if he's going to turn into Nelly. Nelly is like takes up the whole door. I mean, he's a really big, physical, wide dude. But the swing is just so pretty, and then his athleticism, and he just glides. Yeah, you can't help but be excited about Julio Rodriguez. And you know, the goal, hopefully, is that he gets up here next year early and that the following year he's an all-star. But I don't know. That may be a stretch for him to be an all-star in his second year. I'm guessing it's the year after that. That 2024 is the year you really start to see Julio Rodriguez take off and kind of become the player that everyone thinks he can be. But, man, when you watch what he's done immediately upon being called up to Double A, he doesn't have that many at-bats before this. He's just it was not a problem for him. He's too good for that league right now.
He has to be a child. He's hitting almost 400 or something.
He is too good for that league right now. Yeah, he's just been ridiculous. Texter here says Julio's not skinny. He's a big dude. Largest player in the field. I know he's tall. I don't see him as like Cruz. I mean, I've seen him. I've been in person and seen the guy. He is. I don't mean to say he's like a rail. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say that at all. But he's not. I mean, Nelson Cruz looks like a football player. Right. I mean, like Nelson Cruz looks really large.
Barrel.
Yeah. And because of it, you know, unfortunately, as much as we love Nelly, it leads to probably the worst moment of his career when he wasn't able to track down the line drive in the World Series, because he's not that fast and run around that well because just carrying a lot of girth, good positive girth, but girth nonetheless.
Save that clip.
Girth. Girth. I think people sometimes think it's a bad thing. Oh, it looks like we're having issues. Are we getting stood up more? What's going on?
Oh, it's ringing right now. Sorry.
Oh, okay, it's re-ringing. Sheesh. This is what you get dealing with celebrities, right? They work on their schedule, their time. 8:08, 8:15, 8:20.
He's a busy guy. He's a new dad. He's a busy, busy guy.
This is a good text, just to come back to Julio Rodriguez. Says he's more like A-Rod. Yeah, I would say, like, build-wise, I would agree with that. All right, we've got Macklemore. Good morning, sir. How are you? Thanks for being on the show.
I thought you were talking about my build.
Are you built like A-Rod? Are you built like A-Rod?
You know, I don't think any part of my body is built like A-Rod.
No.
I think that, you know, maybe in his age, there might be like a little bit of extra chin at this point, and I probably identify with that the most.
I understand that. Hey, congratulations. We'll get into a few different things, but I heard you just had a third child. Hugo, is that right? Just within the last day or two?
Hugo.
Congratulations. Yes, you have three. True.
Thank you. This is the first time that I'm talking about it in public.
Wow. So do you need to like buy a Suburban now in order to get everybody? I mean, third row, SUV, your life becomes more complicated with three.
I have had an Escalade for years.
Of course you have.
You need it.
You need to have it. All right.
Yeah, you got to have it.
Well, congratulations. You guys will be playing zone defense
now.
Two on three is a lot. I stuck with two and said I was done, so...
And now you're going to be happier forever because of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I can just drive a normal car with two kids in the back. That was always the goal. I don't have the bankroll for the Escalade. Hey, I know you're a real sports fan, which is why we were excited to have you on the show. And you know, you were there. I've seen the clip of where you were for the tip from Richard Sherman. It is, I mean, obviously, I would say the greatest Seattle sports moment of all time. And you were, what, 20 feet away from it?
Yeah, I was right there. And I would agree, greatest Seattle sports moment of all time. I mean, the minute that you started to transition into this, I knew exactly what you were talking about, and you should have seen a smile on my face. It still gives me goosebumps.
It must have been just ridiculous. I mean, what was your immediate reaction to it? Oh, and that's it.
Oh, he's just all got dropped.
Morris says this is a PR problem. His PR people are getting out. That's too bad. I was already enjoying Macklemore. Well, the nice thing is all we have left here is Need to Know. So we can, if he gets back on here, we can kind of skip through some of the Need to Know stuff because you guys already, you want me to tell you now what you need to know while we're waiting for him to call back?
Might as well.
I can just tell you basically, here's what you need to know today. I can do it without music and everything else. You need to know that the Mariners lost. I think you already know that though. The Mariners lost. It didn't go very well. They were right there, had a chance to win. Kelnick had his moment, and unfortunately the ball went foul, and that was the end of that one. So you needed to know that the Mariners lost, but unfortunately you already know it. You also need to know that the Huskies are in a really bad spot heading into this weekend, as they've got to find a way to win because they're playing a bad, you know, an Arkansas State team that is a non-power five, or they're non-power five even though they are FCS, and you can't lose to them. And you need to know that the Seahawks injury report is pretty good, which is great. And Tennessee is not very good, except they're probably going to be better than they were a week ago. Is that fair to say?
I think you should ask Clayton about that too, but I would agree that I think they have to be better than they were, because that was a pretty disappointing, according to prediction standpoint, that was a pretty disappointing showing.
Yeah, they're supposed to be a good team. Like, when I look around the league and I say, okay, who's going to be good, who's not going to be good, and generally the first thing you look at is coach and quarterback, right, and get a sense as to who's where. And then maybe there's an outstanding factor that you've seen in the last few years with that team that you think will maybe compensate. And so, like, I would look at a team like Tennessee and say, okay, well, Derrick Henry and their physicality and their offensive line and Mike Vrabel, all of those things to me were enough to kind of compensate for the fact that Ryan Tannehill's okay. Not elite. Not going to kill you, but he's not elite. So I would just sort of look at Tannehill and be like, all right, he's not on the list of teams that I ordinarily would say, okay, well, you got to be careful because they've got an elite quarterback. But because of Derrick Henry and the physicality of the offensive line, you got to take him super seriously. And you're supposed to have a defense to complement that. They don't. That's what's so crazy to me.
And the Cardinals shut down Derrick Henry, right?
Well, the Cardinals shut everything down.
Right, I mean, completely.
Like, they got five after sacks, Tannehill, yeah, and the sacks, and then what they did offensively, watching some of those videos of Kyler Murray, and he's just like dancing back there. It's like a little water bug. Like, there's just no way to get your hands around him. Every time you think you do, he ends up moving and going somewhere else. So, yeah, I can't imagine Tennessee is as bad as they looked over the weekend, but I understand that that's, you know, that's all we have on paper for them and all we have on tape from them right now.
And it's going to be hard to throw in the rain. If we think the weather is going to be as bad as it looks like it could be, mm-hmm, yeah, I mean, it's going to be all ground game, right?
Russell has never played all that well in the rain. Isn't that weird?
Being in Seattle?
Considering where he lives, considering where he plays his home games, considering the fact that he has these gigantic hands. I mean, for as small as Russell is height-wise, he's got these humongous hands, which generally what you would think would be incredibly helpful for playing in the rain, but his numbers go down significantly in the rain. It's really odd that that's never been like a great part of his game. I also, like, it's going to be chilly, rainy, et cetera. Anybody want to go and try to tackle Derrick Henry in that environment?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. That's a really good point. I've never even thought about what that would be like, tackling or running. I just think about throwing and catching in the rain.
Yeah.
I never think about trying to tackle a slippery person.
Well, I think it hurts your hands. I mean, like, that's my memory of playing high school football against nobody close to Derrick Henry's size. It's just when it's cold and it's rainy, it would always be my hands that I felt like were the hardest to feel and the hardest to deal with. But I'm sure you've had that playing baseball, right? Early spring baseball in Montana, and you get a ball off the hands, off the, you know, the bat, and it sort of tingles,
yeah,
on you. I would think that's what it feels like to try to tackle Derrick Henry in that kind of cold.
Montana spring baseball is where the grass is still frozen,
yeah,
where it's just ice. It's just ice grass.
Yeah.
That hurts a
lot. Oh, yeah. I'm very familiar. I mean, baseball in the Northeast in the early spring is pretty similar to that.
So. People saying that they're afraid this is going to be a bounce-back game for Tennessee.
Well, sure. I mean, like, again, that's a proud team that's been in the playoffs. Like, are they just going to – they're not going to give up, right? I mean, like, They had really high expectation level, I think, over these last couple of years. They had the big game against the Patriots, right, where they won a couple of years ago in the playoffs, and it seemed like at that point maybe Vrabel was going to take this thing to the next level, and they were ascending into being one of the premier teams. They've got a guy that I really like, and I love Derrick Henry. I love running backs in general. He's one of my favorites in the league. Remember when the Seahawks played them? It just looked like they were like they were manhandled. Taylor Lewan is a real, and I know he hasn't been the same since injury, but like they really have some guys that look like on the offensive line, and then a couple of them, you know, moved on. Jack Conklin moved on, right? He's no longer there, and I guess that just, I don't know, maybe they lost the wrong guys and weren't able to draft or replace them. It's not like I follow Tennessee day in, day out, but yeah, I would agree. Just, it is surprising that they are where they are, and at the same time also also, the fear of the bounce back game. Can we get an update more? Where are we at?
He's having technical difficulties. They said he was trying to call back in and he was hearing beeping, but like they were able to get through. His people were. So
technical difficulties. We think so. Interesting that of all the technology to go wrong at this point in time in 2021, the technical difficulty is with a phone. Like with everyone doing Zoom and Teams and everything else out there, we have our issue is the phone. Is the thing that's not working as well as you might hope that it would be.
We're going to give it one more try, though.
All right, we're giving it one more shot. This is our last attempt here with Macklemore.
I think so.
All right, we're giving it one more try. Macklemore, are
one
you there?
One try.
All right.
I'm here.
Dude, I just filled 10 minutes of some of the best radio you've ever heard. I'm sorry you missed it.
I believe it.
All right, let me ask you some questions. Let's start with golf, because that's why you're here, is to promote what you're doing with your new store and with the Bogey Boys. I'm excited about that and want to talk about it. But I want to talk the PGA first, because you've had a chance to be around some of these guys. Who's been your favorite golfer, PGA golfer, to be around?
You know, it's tough to call. I've had, my playing partner in the Pro-Am, Lonto Griffin, is amazing. Mm. Jason Day. We've played, a couple rounds. Love that guy. Fantastic dude. I will say I just played with Sergio Garcia. And when I got paired with Sergio, I'm going to keep it a hundo. When I got paired with Sergio, I was like, I don't know. Isn't this the dude that, like, throws clubs and spits in the cup and, like, I don't know. I don't know if like my level of golf requires this intensity. I already hate myself enough. Like I don't need someone spitting on me. And sure enough, Sergio was fantastic the whole day. This guy was like helping me read putts, like giving me swing tips the whole nine. Like he was absolutely a gentleman and we had a fantastic time. So everyone so far that I met has been super cool.
That's good. All right. So you're a Northwest golfer, right? You play golf around here. So I
play golf in the mud.
Okay. Yeah. So you're good at that. That's part of what we learn around here. I had a buddy come in for a golf trip right after July 4th. And so we wanted to play four rounds in 4 days. The only rule was at night you had to make it back to Seattle. So you had to be driving distance from Seattle each day. So you get four courses in 4 days for an out-of-town buddy. Where are you taking them?
That's a great question. Ooh, that's a great question. I love this question. I'm a member out at Aldera. Love that place. I'm going to Aldera. I am going to give him you got to get back to Seattle. Okay, you got to get back to Seattle. I'm going to, you got to go to Chambers.
Yes.
You got to go to Chambers.
Have to. We did.
You got to give them the real experience, too. You got to give them the real Seattle Muni experience.
Oh.
So,
Jefferson?
We're going to Jefferson.
Yeah, you're going to Jefferson.
We're going to Jefferson.
All right.
Yeah.
And then you finish at Green Lake Pitching Putt, obviously.
And then you take him to Green Lake. Bam.
That's where I'm taking my
four
daughter.
Amazing days.
Exactly. All right. So that's pretty good.
So you play like 115 holes at Green Lake. You play
it. Just keep playing.
Until the sun goes down.
Yeah. Keep playing and playing and playing. I was doing a little research on you before you came on today. And just when I clicked on the Twitter feed, I realized that the one person that we have in common. Oh, no.
Did it happen
again?
We
lost him again? No! Oh my gosh!
This is absurd.
Bring an engineer here in
this
here.
Is
let's
absurd.
Let's fire an engineer. Come on!
I was gonna ask, have you ever played Aldera? I was gonna try to ask you that, but man,
oh, that's a killer.
This is just a test today to make you figure out your most important questions in order of.
I was legitimately pumped to talk to Macklemore, and honestly, like he's been pretty fun so far to talk to. Maybe we'll get a special day with him. He's going to have to make this up to us. We'll have him come in. We'll do like a whole thing. I'll tell you the four courses I played. Oh, I love that somebody suggested the Nile is one of the four. But when my buddy came in, I was lucky enough to get on at Tumble Creek. A friend of Brock's helped me get on at Tumble Creek. So we did Tumble, Chambers, the home course, and Druids Glen were the four that we ended
Druids.
Up playing.
Very nice.
Yeah, I wanted to do Trophy Lake, and they were having a tournament, so we didn't end up getting down there. But those were the four that we went for. Oh, man. What a bummer.
Well, we found out he's a member of Aldera, so maybe we go there. We just ask.
All right. We just, like, stand up outside the gates and just, like, let us in. We want to play with Macklemore.
Sit waiting with a microphone.
I was curious if he was a member somewhere. And okay, so it's Aldera. That's where you can find Macklemore. He takes the hike. I've heard that course is impossible. I've not played it. Nobody invites me to nice courses like that, but I've heard it is incredibly impossible. And that's even coming from people who play the Plateau Club, like our boss, which, as far as I know, is the hardest golf course I've ever played, despite not being that long. So,
well, at least promote where his store is going to be, the Bogey Boys. Yes. At least give him his due, plug.
Bogey Boys is on Capitol Hill. They have their new store. It is opening this Saturday. It's connected. It's called Goose McGee and the Bogey Boys. It's actually pretty cool. If you get a chance, I tweeted out yesterday, watch that Goose McGee video of the 71 Masters. It's really legitimately funny. And we'll see if we can get Macklemore to give us sort of a makeup date. How's that? We'll take a rain check here with Macklemore. Does that sound good?
Yes. All right. Yes.
All right. Let's take a quick break because I need to recollect myself or something here after.
Recollect.
I need to collect and then recollect. I need to do it twice. See, I can't even speak English right now. And we got Jerry DePoto coming up. So I've got to center myself and be ready for Jerry. So Jerry DePoto coming up next, then John Clayton, then Jake Heaps. We got a lot going on. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
I'm bummed out about Macklemore. I'm bummed out. I was enjoying him. You never know with, people from the entertainment world. Sometimes they come on shows like this and, comedians can have a challenge sometimes. You've got to be funny immediately. And then, they're sort of disappointing or you don't really know how to talk to them. And the chemistry can be really funky. I don't know. That's just been my experience. I'm sure a lot of it is my own personal weakness. But that's been my experience over the years in talking to folks from the entertainment world. But I was really excited. I thought Macklemore right off the bat. I mean, he's a huge sports fan. That video you showed me is crazy. He's a few feet away from the Richard Sherman tip. He's right there. He's in that corner standing right there. He might have the best view of that of anybody in the world.
I remember watching, because he used to do these really awesome YouTube vlogs, not to get too far into this, but when that came out, thinking he is at the quintessential moment in Seattle sports history.
He's right there. He seems like somebody who I would love to have come in and co-host for an hour and just talk about Seattle sports, really knows his stuff. So that's kind of a bummer. Oh, well. We'll see if we can hook something up for the future. They owe us now, so maybe we can hook something up with Macklemore.
Well, we had people asking where the store is. So, again, it's Capitol Hill, 10th Avenue.
10th Avenue, Capitol Hill.
Bogey Boys.
It does look cool. While you're there, watch that video that he made of the 71 Masters, a whole joke about the 71 Masters that he and his friends filmed. It's funny. It reminds me of stuff people I would have known would have made, people I know have made, where they're just sort of messing around and having fun with a goofy idea, except he's got enough money and fame and stuff to be able to afford actual cameras and effects and stuff like that. It's pretty cool. Yeah, he's a creative dude. I like that.
People like to hate on him. I'm a fan.
Why do people want to hate on him?
I don't know, just because he blew up, I guess. People,
really?
It's just immediately where people go with it.
Oh, well, that seems unfair. He's a Seattle guy and a good one. All right, let's move it along here. Jerry DePoto joins us every Thursday at 8:30 and takes the time this morning. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Morning, Mike. The sun came up this morning, ready to go try to win out here.
Was that kind of how it feels after? I mean, yesterday's a bummer. I know we were all bummed, and we all had that exact same feeling as Kelnick's ball was heading down the right field line, that this could be that exact moment we've all been waiting for, and to see it go 18 inches maybe foul to the right side of that line. What goes through your mind in that moment?
I mean, it would have been a huge moment, obviously, and in retrospect, we all walk out feeling a lot different than. Ultimately we did, but it didn't happen. And I'll touch on what we discussed last Thursday, which is these moments, having a chance to go up, take those types of at-bats and pitch the types of innings that our young pitchers are pitching in these situations is just invaluable for our growth. And I think yesterday was too, disappointing end aside. It was a phenomenal series with the Red Sox. I thought we played we played neck and neck with them the whole series, and that's we're showing ourselves we can, which this team knows.
Did you hear any of Kelnick post game and what he said about that at bat? He really went through his process. Have you heard the sound of this?
I haven't heard the sound, but I'm pretty sure I know what I'll hear.
Yeah, let me play it for you. I'm kind of curious to get your reaction. I thought this was a really fascinating insight into what goes into a major league at bat, but This was Kelnick talking about his final at bat there.
We were looking at the scouting report, and when he was ahead in the count, he threw a lot of sliders. And so I was looking for something out over the plate. And really just, you know, my hands are quick enough to react to the fastball and just try to fight that pitch off. I was kind of looking for that hanger that he was going to try to freeze me on. I think he saw me foul off a fastball there and brought me to the next pitch. And then he threw his changeup like 3% of the time. And that 3% of the time, he used it against me there.
Is that what you're expecting?
Pretty much. You know, I think, and 3% of the time, I think the actual number was that was the second changeup Adam Ottavino's thrown this year. So it's good on Jared for putting on a great at bat, for being aware of how he pitches and goes about it. And, you know, Ottavino is about mid 90s and what I think is one of the league's better sliders. And Jared went up there with the right mindset, and a pitcher who's been around, who's had a fair bit of success, saw that he was on him and grinding through an at bat, and he made an adjustment. And frankly, he threw a pitch that none of us could have expected him to throw, and he threw it really well. So it's chalk it up. I can't even really say it's a lesson learned, because there's no way in that situation you shouldn't do exactly what Jared did. And you know, it just didn't work. Again, we lost out by a foot and a half, but it's a foot and a half that will do a lot of good for the growth of Jared Kelnick and other players that were involved in that game.
When I hear that and think about a guy throwing just a second changeup all year, and I think about some of the managers that have gone to, you know, their tough lefties in order to face him this season, it sure seems to me anyway that he's gotten he's being treated as if he is already a really good player and a good hitter who's established himself. Is that common for a rookie like him to get that kind of treatment?
I don't think it's common for a rookie. I do think that there's been enough, fanfare around here that was not unexpected. And, you know, he and I have had a conversation where we discuss that. They know who you are. They know where you are all the time. And, you know, and to that point, the umpires know who you are. And, you know, and they're going to test you from time to time and see how far they can push you. And, you know, part of growth as a major league player is being able to adapt to that, to overcome. And to some extent, we all had to go through it. You know, the tighter strike zone, the wider strike zone, the pitchers who are going to throw you breaking stuff until you show you can hit it, and the pitchers who are going to do the same. It's a very unique back and forth for a young player to break in at the major league level, and I think Jared's experienced all of that and then some in his first year.
Jerry, we had John Stanton on yesterday as we were announcing the continuation of our partnership between the Mariners and 710 ESPN Seattle, a multi-year extension to our deal, so you guys will still be heard right here on this station, which we're super excited about. And I was asking him about you and your extension from just a couple of weeks ago, and he had some really nice, kind, supportive things to say about you, unsurprisingly. But one thing he mentioned is that he said that this year, since he had moved into a slightly different role, that you guys talk almost daily. And so it just makes me, what do you guys talk about?
Sometimes we talk about the team. Most of the time we talk about the growth of our baseball organization, how we move forward. You know, I think John, and it comes off this way in his public-facing personality, he's a very good person who loves the Mariners, and he's a fan of our team. So we'll talk about the young players in A-ball. We'll talk about the players at the major league level. We'll talk occasionally about strategy, but that's really not how John is wired. He's more of a big picture thinker. And, you know, those are exciting things for me because, you know, we are trying to grow something, you know, broader in its spectrum than just simply tonight's game. And he's interested in hearing about that. And he's often got suggestions from a managerial or from a business building type of perspective. And, you know, whatever businesses we're all in, we've all, you know, had to manage and deal with the element of people and ensuring their growth. And that's something that's really important to John as well, is the growth of the 160-ish people who work in baseball operations and talking through that. And sometimes we'll talk about wine. So it's, you know, roughly everything in between.
Well, it's something I don't know that people recognize as being something that's an important skill for someone in your job, which is, what did you say, 160 people or so that report up to you. You don't just you know, have to know baseball and know trades and know free agents and know negotiation. You need to be a leader of people. You need to manage a group. It's not just you pulling the trigger on every trade, waking up one day and saying, hey, let's call the Royals and make a deal. You've got a large staff that you actually have to be a manager for.
And I think that's my primary job, which is something, you know, when I first became a general manager, may not have been the way that I approached it. And, you know, we all evolve over the years. And I think that's the thing that, that has become a primary focus for me. And, you know, I, as a player personnel director, you know, back in, you know, 15 years ago, that was a job that I loved because you needed to know your roster, the minor league system, the global baseball, I guess, that pool of players that existed around you. And I still have some of that in my skill set, but now more often I wind up, you know, spending my time on the growth of the directors and department, the managers at every level, the curriculum that we put in place for player growth. Because, it, you know, planting the seeds is really the job. Mm. And, you know, as a result, I spend a lot more of my time with Justin Hollander, with Andy McKay, with our scouting directors, talking about how it's going to grow. And I think I've said this in just this way before, you know, the major league club, throw the keys to Scott, you know, work with the group, build the roster, and then get out of the way and don't get too in the weeds on trying to dictate or arrange for strategy. That's not my job.
Let me read you some numbers, and I'm going to guess that you'll know exactly what these numbers refer to. 42 games, 373 average, 476 on base, 570 slugging for a 1046 OPS, 59 hits, 10 doubles, 7 home runs, 32 runs, 25 driven in, 28 walks, 35 strikeouts, and 14 of 16 in stolen bases. I'm assuming you know what those numbers are.
I believe that may be Julio.
That's Julio Rodriguez since his promotion to Double A. What kind of player is this kid going to be?
I hope just what you just walked through from a statistical perspective, and we're even more impressed by the person. And, you know, you can squeeze in there somehow, manage to slip away twice and join Team Dominican Republic
right.
to win a medal and have a very, what I would call, positive impact on the Mariners, despite the fact that he's not yet, you know, come within a level of the major leagues. He has a vibrant way about him that just attracts people, teammates, that creates clubhouse, I guess, harmony in a fun together type of way. And really looking forward to when he gets here to Seattle. And he is an ultra talented player who, you know, we feel like is right on the doorstep. And it's you know, a lot of what we're doing right now, as you know, is laying the foundation for what we think is a long run of successful, we've called it, you know, sustainable championship rosters here. And we think that's happening as we speak. And we know that Julio is part of that when it starts to really flourish.
We were trying to figure out who he's built like. We had a texter who said maybe he's built like A-Rod. Is that a fair comp for his body type?
Yeah, I mean, it looks a little like A-Rod, younger version. A guy that always comes to mind is, you know, you will remember this, is the young version of Jesse Barfield.
Oh, man.
With the Blue Jays. You know, that really just physical, athletic look. And I'll say this, too, about Julio, that he has done a remarkable job as he's matured. Typically, as players mature, they gain strength. And in Julio's case, he gained strength, and he really toned his body in a different way than we might have expected when he was 16 years old, and which goes to show how gray an area scouting can be. But he actually made himself faster, which is maybe the tool in baseball that doesn't naturally evolve once you get into your 20s. And, you know, he did. He went out and he worked hard on it, and he got faster, which is hard to do.
Jesse Barfield, career 800, 802 OPS. That guy was pretty good. I remember him as a kid. Thanks, Jerry. We appreciate it, man. This is always good to do, and we'll do it again next week.
All right, Mike. Look forward to it.
All right, there you go. There is Jerry DePoto, Mariners now president of baseball operations, who joins us here on the Mike Salk Show. And kudos to him. I'm sure today's not an easy day. Yesterday was a really rough one. And he shows up, and I understand where he's coming from. It was disappointing. You trust the process. You're not out of it, and you continue to go fight hard, and you try to take the positives, which are some of the experience and the at-bats and the innings that these guys are logging in big spots. John Clayton next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
John Clayton's Morning Drive, every morning at 8:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
I thought you saw a lot of good things out of offense. I think that was a very positive sign.
The first and final word on everything NFL from the professor, John Clayton.
It just amazes me. I give it credence, but not total credence.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Mike Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Mike.
How are we doing today?
Good. I'm doing great.
Good. Well, let's see. Let's jump right into this. And as we get ready for Tennessee this weekend, are they as bad as they looked on Sunday?
Can't be, because, again, they were an 11-win team last year, but they were bad. And, I mean, you can see where the problems are. I mean, first off, when you look at defense, I mean, technically last year they were the fifth worst defense as far as yards allowed. And I know I did a Washington Post story on John Robinson, their general manager, and he probably went through more defensive changes than any other team in the league, you know, because they changed their two starting cornerbacks. They changed two defensive ends. You know, they made a lot of changes, but it sure didn't work out when Arizona comes into Nashville and gets 37 points. Then you look at Taylor Lewan, and I have no idea, because Taylor Lewan, you know, since coming into the league, has been one of the better left tackles in the league.
Yeah.
But, you know, he had the ACL injury last year, and he gave up 5 sacks to Chandler Jones. Okay, that was bad. And then they have a new right tackle because they let Ryan Kelly go, and that obviously is not working out. So that's a problem. And the big problem was they had no time to throw the football. I mean, Ryan Tannehill had to get rid of the ball quickly. And so, you know, they didn't take it full advantage of Julio Jones and, you know, P.J. Brown and all the good stuff they have at wide receiver. You know, they only got about 50-some yards out of Derrick Henry. I mean, it's going to be a team I think is going to win the division, because you look at Indianapolis, and that's a team right now that, you know, has 5 games starting off against 10-win teams or more from last year. So I think they're going to be, you know, problematic, and you saw how bad they played last week. And so I think Tennessee's going to win the division, but it may only be 9 wins.
Well, it just seems odd. I mean, I really thought they were a team ascending, and now it seems like they're going in the opposite direction. And it just seems odd to have a run-first offense with a defense that struggles. Usually, you know, the physical run-first offensive teams come with a good defense. That's part of the philosophy.
Well, and that's what I don't understand, because, I mean, Mike Vrabel is a defensive coach. I mean, he's a defensive player from, you know, Bill Belichick's New England Patriots. I mean, he did a good job with the Houston Texans defense as a defensive coordinator. And it's not like – but even 2 years ago when they were real average, you know, they just seemed to have problems, particularly like in the second half of games. So there's just something amiss right now with their defense. And where this is so important for Seattle, if you can win this game, you're now going to have a good chance to go 4-0 against the AFC South, because Houston and Jacksonville are terrible. And then you look at the NFC North, that's the 4 teams that they have to play.
Mm-hmm.
And
terrible.
Yeah, right now, I mean, you know, the 4 teams in the NFC North didn't win a game last week. They were 0-4.
Yep.
Green Bay looked bad. Minnesota looked bad. Chicago's terrible. And so it's like they have a great chance to really pick up some ground where everybody was all worried about the schedule. Maybe the schedule's not as bad as you think.
Yeah.
And win this game.
Well, and we'll find out a little bit more as we get into the season on that. We talked yesterday about Urban Meyer. Did you see the video of him dismissing USC? And he says no chance, but you really have to see it, because the way he sort of looks at the ground as he says, I mean, it's like, I don't play poker at any kind of an elite level or really at all, but it looked like every potential tell in the book that he was lying.
Yeah.
I mean, the first clue that he was lying is that it was Urban Meyer. But once you got past the fact that he's automatically lying, it looked like he was lying.
Yeah, but I mean, I actually believe him in this one, even though I don't believe in him as an NFL coach. And the reason I believe it is he got a $9 million plus contract. And so he's not getting that from USC. I mean, USC's too cheap to do something like that. I mean, I don't know if they're going to pay their new head coach $2 million or $2.5 million, but he's not going to leave a $9 plus million job to go to USC. But he should, because he's not suited to be in the NFL. I mean, you know, I still go back to the stat. I don't know if it was like 2000 or whatever it was, but it had been like 9 coaches that came out of college and had no NFL experience. And the only one that had a winning record was Chip Kelly. And I don't know if you agree with this. He wasn't a great NFL coach.
No, he wasn't. And you know what? I will admit, I'm still surprised by it. I thought Chip was going to be a great NFL coach. I was wrong on that one. Justin, I'll take the L. I thought, and what I like about Chip is I think he, well, at least I thought anyway, he was very open-minded. He was very creative. I thought he would take a lot of his creativity, open-mindedness, and have it work in the NFL, but it certainly didn't go that way.
But the problem is, and this is Urban Meyer, it's Chip Kelly, and it's all these coaches that come out of college with no NFL experience. They don't know what they don't know, but yet they get too much power. Because, again, it's like to get a college coach, you have to end up giving him more personnel decision-making ability than you probably should. And, of course, they come in, and you know what they don't know is what an NFL player is all about, you know, because they come in and, you know.
But Pete did. I mean, now Pete had been in the NFL before.
Yeah.
But that was my concern. I was wrong on that one, too. I'm generally wrong, but I was wrong on that. I thought Pete would not be able to handle men, and that's what had happened to him in New England and New York. And he had figured it out along the way. I'm surprised Chip couldn't get that figured
out. Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, at least in the case of Pete Carroll and John Harbaugh, they have NFL experience.
Right.
They know what the NFL is about. But I know, for example, you know, because this even affected Tom Coughlin, and I, you know, have great insight into what happened when Tom Coughlin went to the New York Giants, is that, you know, he got together with John Wooden, and John Wooden told him, hey, listen, here's what you need to do. He's like, you have all these rules that you had from college. Eliminate them. Have 5 rules. Because, again, you're not dealing with teenagers. You're dealing with adults. Just make it simple. And so it's like, and they don't, that's what Urban Meyer hasn't done. I mean, he has long, tough practices. I mean, even if he does somewhat well, the team's going to be worn out by the 8th, 9th week of the season and then finish bad. But now, I mean, they start off and they lose to a Houston Texan team that's the least talented in football.
Yeah, and talk about a circus around them and everything else. Yeah, what a mess. John, good stuff. We will talk one more time tomorrow before the weekend. Already looking forward to it.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, there you go. John Clayton with me every morning at 8:45. We're rolling from one person to the next today, and excited to have Jake Heaps in for the first time on the show. Want to talk to him about Russ. Want to play him some of the sound from Matt and things Matt Hasselbeck yesterday and what we've heard so far about Shane Waldron. And unfortunately, some really sad breaking news, and we'll talk to Jake about that as well. So stick around. Jake Heaps coming up next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.